Hey, everybody. Elections have changed, but have they changed for the better? Is it about persuasion or is it now about brute force, about mechanical, machinery-style politics? We get into that and also some of the breaking news out of Michigan, where thousands of votes were allegedly processed with the same birth date, January 1st, 1900. I want to thank those of you that support us at charliekirk.com/support. When you support us at charliekirk.com/support, you make our program possible. You allow us the opportunity to speak our mind, really investigate truth, and bring you the news that no one else is talking about. charliekirk.com/support. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com, tpusa.com. And as always, email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Very important episode. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Everyone wants their home and their family to be safe. Whether it's from a break-in, a fire, flooding, or a medical emergency, SimpliSafe Home Security delivers award-winning 24/7 protection. With SimpliSafe, you don't just get an arsenal of cameras and sensors, you get the best professional monitors in the business. They've got your back day and night, ready to send police, fire, or EMTs when you need them most, straight to your door. SimpliSafe has an arsenal of sensors and cameras that protect every inch of your home. You can get it yourself in up to 30 minutes is super easy. Then SimpliSafe professionals take over, monitoring your home 24/7, ready to send help the moment there's an alarm. With SimpliSafe, there's no long-term contract, no hidden fees or installation costs. Right now, my listeners get a free home security camera when they purchase SimpliSafe right now and use the code Charlie. It's SimpliSafe.com/Charlie. You can always get a 60-day risk-free trial, so there's nothing to lose. Secure your home, SimpliSafe.com/Charlie for your free security camera today. That's SimpliSafe.com/Charlie, SimpliSafe.com/Charlie. I've been really disappointed with a lot of the election coverage on television and some people on radio in the last couple days. There have been a fair amount of people that are describing elections as if they are persuasion contests. There are people on the conservative side and on the liberal side that are saying that Joe Biden won because he was able to convince people to vote for him. 10 or 20 years ago, that might have been the case. But something came out of California a couple years ago that changed the way we do elections. Elections are no longer about persuasion. Elections are no longer about convincing people around your ideas. Now, there's a part of that that still exists. But now elections are much more about machinery. It's much more of a mechanical exercise. Now, for those of us that are conservatives, we don't value politics as our ultimate priority. We're involved in our church, our family, our business, our faith. For us, politics is just getting involved so we can continue to do other things that matter more to us. We used to make fun of Barack Obama back in 2008 and 2012 for being a community organizer, for being someone that knew how to mobilize precincts for action. That is why his nonprofit that he started was called Organizing for Action, Obama for America, OFA. Obama changed the landscape of American politics when he implemented a one-of-a-kind ground game in 2008 and 2012. Republicans soon took notice and started to develop their own ground game. In 2014, a lot of the Republican ground efforts helped Mitch McConnell take back the U.S. Senate in 2014 and flip governor's mansions in Illinois, for example, and many other states across the country. But the real question is what changed even beyond developing a conventional ground game? Because we as Republicans thought that we are on the cutting edge of the machinery, on the mechanical side of politics, that we're going to register voters, that we're going to knock on doors. And I'm not diminishing any of that. But there's another wrinkle that came into play. And the Democrats were ahead of the curve, and we were dreadfully and woefully behind the curve. In California in 2018, a new form of political mechanics or political practice came into law in reality called ballot harvesting. You see, we as conservatives feel more comfortable dealing in the idea space. We as conservatives feel a lot more safe discussing, persuading, debating, exchanging one idea for the other. Liberals never have wanted to do that. For those of us at Turning Point USA that go to college campuses for a living, I could tell you that liberals do not want anything to do with the idea space. They kind of are repulsed by it. What they do like, though, is the political combat space. Is how do we use whatever framework is out there to maximize our likelihood of getting political power? Debates, discussing other ideas, that's kind of a waste of time. Show me how we can get back into power. And there are only two ways of governing people. We've talked about this a lot on the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. I recommend everyone to subscribe. There's two ways of governing people. You can govern them by talking, persuasion, and reason, which is the way that we as Westerners have grown accustomed over the last couple decades and centuries. Show me your ideas and I will give you power. Convince me that you were duly elected and I'll buy it. Tell me why you deserve to be in charge of a $4 trillion federal government budget every single year and the largest military on the planet and to govern the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world. Show me why, and then also prove to me that you were elected in a non-banana republic way. And the second way to govern people is by force. Every government system in the history of the planet can be divided into one of those two buckets. And does anyone actually believe that Joe Biden persuaded 73 to 74 million people to vote for him? Almost 6 to 8 million more people than Hillary Clinton and millions more than Barack Obama in 2008? No, that's not what happened. Now, I'm not alleging that all of it was fraud. That's not the point. The point is that Democrats, as they started to gravitate away from the idea space like they did on college campuses, because remember, whatever happened on college campuses will happen in corporate boardrooms, in the American culture, in the halls of Congress. As Democrats said, I don't want anything to do with this idea space. I don't like this whole thing of compromise. I don't like the idea of nuance. We like dogma. We like rigidity. We like fervency. We like almost a theological commitment to leftism. So instead of getting people to buy into their agenda, they have just become experts at maximizing the electoral system. And whether we like it or not, the age of vote by mail is upon us. So now it's not a matter of, can you get people to subscribe to your agenda? Yeah, they run TV ads that sound good and all that. None of that stuff will get you 73 to 74 million votes. You know what will? Sending out 100 million ballots across the planet will get you to 74 million votes. And union organizers and pseudo criminal activity, allegedly, and ballot harvesting and voting month and drop boxes on every corner and social media tech giants that are involved. That is not about persuasion. It's not about reason. It's about brute force. That's not an election, everybody. It's not. It's about how do we get the most amount of human beings that have ballots out there, probably intercept a lot of them, and change the entire way that we do elections in our country. And do you know what that does? It completely and totally erodes the enthusiasm factor in an election. It doesn't matter if your candidate has more enthusiasm. It's irrelevant. Now, just what matters is which campaign is better at finding, intercepting, submitting, and allegedly filling out the ballots on the edges and on the margins. Now, we see this in states that had unsupervised absentee ballot vote by mail hurricanes where they just spit them out in every direction, like Pennsylvania, like in Michigan, like in Georgia, President Donald Trump didn't do very well. In states with leaders, where it was supervised, where it was checked for fraud, where you didn't get a ballot unless you requested one, like Florida, President Trump did very well. So I voted in Florida. I voted in Sarasota, my residence. And when I went to go vote, I had to show an ID. I had to show proof of residency, in-person early voting. And there was a gentleman next to me saying, I'd like to vote. And he gave his ID and they said, well, we sent you an absentee ballot. And he said, so what? I want to vote. They said, well, you have to surrender your absentee ballot, sir. And this was a very nice old woman. I don't know if she was a Democrat or a Republican working the booth. And she said, sorry, sir, you could vote provisional, but if you ended up also submitting your absentee ballot, you could be prosecuted for double voting. And he's like, oh, no, I don't want to do that. I'm like, well, sir, all you have to do is just go back home, surrender your ballot, and you can vote here. And I saw in action a state that's actually governed the correct way, where some guy that maybe wanted to vote twice, maybe he was confused, maybe he was just being a smart aleck, whatever. The point is, I saw a check and a prevention of someone that got an absentee ballot sent to him that was not able to vote in person. I saw the system working in Florida in front of my very eyes. And so as we go over throughout the next couple hours, all of the instances of voter fraud and cheating, allegedly, it's important to remember that this is not an election. This is now as close to an athletic contest as we've ever been. It's now about who can play the system better. Know not just the tactics of the enemy, but know the terrain of which the battle will be fought. Chapter 10 of Sun Tzu's Art of War talks about the terrain of the battle. Sun Tzu said, we may distinguish six kinds of terrain: accessible ground, entangling ground, temporizing ground, narrow passes, precipitous heights, and positions at a great distance from the enemy. Now, mind you, a lot of this can also be metaphorically applicable to any sort of fight or struggle that you are in. I love the idea of knowing the terrain of which the battle is being fought on, because it applies perfectly to how a lot of Republicans were taken by surprise when all of a sudden allegedly fraudulent ballots started to show up. So when there was a push for vote by mail in April, May, and June, we knew that it would lend itself to fraud. And Democrats pushed so hard for this, the vote by mail, because they understood how to operate the political machinery to be able to get themselves the presidency back. And through all the different research that we've done here on the Charlie Kirk Show, it is obvious that the ballot harvesting, voter registration, and alleged scheme to fill out votes improperly, maybe with Dominion voting systems, was only done in a couple targeted areas. Breaking last evening, Michelle Steele looks like she's going to win her congressional seat and flip another seat from Democrat to Republican in California, Orange County, where they ballot harvested against her using this form of political machinery in 2018. And so what we are learning is that when Republicans rise up, it's hard to be able to use this new form of elections if it's not on the margins. But number two, what we're learning using Sun Tzu's Art of War is that the Democrats and the left, they're able to hyper-target these tactics to benefit them. For example, Democrats did not care about President Donald Trump and how he would do in Washington, D.C. President Donald Trump got 5% of the vote in Washington, D.C., but he got 4% in 2016. They didn't care how President Donald Trump would do in Chicago, but he did 5 points better in 2020 than he did in 2016. They didn't care how he would do in San Francisco. He did 5 points better in 2020 than he did in 2016. The significance is that the Democrats and their organizers were much more focused on maximizing the voter registration, voter turnout, mail-in ballots in a couple cities that mattered: Atlanta, Philadelphia, Detroit, and Milwaukee. Those are the states where President Donald Trump had an excited base, a reinvigorated base. They saw their internals collapsing in suburban areas. And as we've talked about before, you always need a backup plan. President Trump had no backup plan. His single plan was to win the election fairly and squarely and bring out a lot of people overwhelming so that they would not be able to cheat on the margins. But what if you had a race on the margins? You see, the Democrats' plan A was to win this thing convincingly, and the fraud would never be found because it would be a blue wave everywhere. They wanted to win the Montana, Iowa, South Carolina Senate races. They wanted to win the Texas Senate race, the Kentucky Senate race. They spent $410 million on failed races and $109 million in Jamie Harrison's race against Lindsey Graham to lose by 10 points in South Carolina. But their backup plan was the political machinery that they once perfected in places like California and Chicago, exporting it like a Toyota Highlander into cities across the country. These Democrat political operations willingly imported the ballot harvesting, voter registration, voting month schemes into their inner cities. And despite Joe Biden having no ground game that was comparable to the Barack Obama one, there was a different kind of ground game. It wasn't about knocking on doors. It was about collecting ballots and making sure the ballots were favoring you. This election was not won or lost on Election Day. It was won or lost as soon as those ballots went out. You had teams of people scooping them up, harvesting them, and submitting them. It's a different way of doing elections than a lot of us are used to. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, one day only sale. Wouldn't you rather just work with a company who puts you on a pedestal every day? That's what you get with PureTalk, a veteran-run wireless company who understands what it means to serve. Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, if you're with them, you're overpaying pure and simple. PureTalk can easily save you over $400 a year. Listen, this is all you need. Unlimited talk, text, and 2 gigs of data for just $20 a month. And if you go over on data usage, they don't charge you for it. What a novelty, a company that actually puts their customers first. Switching to PureTalk is the easiest decision you'll make today. You can keep your phone and your number or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Grab your mobile phone, dial #250 and say Charlie Kirk. When you do, you'll save 50% off your first month. Dial #250 and say the keyword Charlie Kirk. PureTalk, simply smarter, wireless. The more tactical elections become, the more divided our country will be, and the less we will trust the system. Elections are supposed to be about the will of the people. The Founding Fathers wrote about this in the Federalist Papers, that elections are actually supposed to be about persuasion. Elections are supposed to be about how do you want our system of government to properly protect your natural rights. Our system of government was originally derived from many different thinkers, Cicero and Montesquieu, John Locke in particular, were some of the most influential in designing the American system. But when elections become closer to rackets, or they become closer to some form of a collegiate athletic contest of who can get the most amount of pieces of paper collected with your person marked and then submitted, that is not an election. That is a brute force contest trying to design physical machinery using shoe leather and good old Chicago community organizing to benefit your own political agenda. And if that is the new way of doing elections in our country, where it doesn't matter what people actually think anymore, where it's not about persuasion, it's not about using reason, and it's more just about how many people that work for you, how many platoons, how many infantrymen can you deploy to go collect ballots that benefit you, then it's time for Republicans to start doing that. Because we are now looking at sworn affidavits after sworn affidavit. It's absolutely incredible. Of a complex, of a targeted, of a deliberate, and a sinister machine that was implemented in 4 cities across the country. Here's the latest one breaking this morning. On November 4th, 2020, I was surprised to see numerous boxes of ballots arrive at the TCF Center in the evening. Now, mind you, that's a day after the election. I first noticed these boxes in the distribution area after many of the military ballots had been distributed and processed. I estimate these boxes contained several thousand new ballots when they appeared. The main list of persons who had registered to vote on or before November 1st, 2020 was on an electronic poll book, often referred to as the QVF. As I understand it, the supplemental sheets were the lists of persons who had registered to vote on November 2nd or November 3rd. I observed that none of the names on these new ballots were on the QVF or on the supplemental sheets. I saw the computer operators at several counting boards manually adding the names and addresses of thousands of ballots to the QVF system. When I asked what the positive possible justification was to count the ballots from unknown, unverified persons, I was told by the election supervisor that the Wayne County Clerk's Office had checked them out. I challenged not one ballot, but the entire process, as the names were not in the QVF or supplemental sheets because of the date of births were all wrong and all being marked 01-01-1900. Unbelievable. An election supervisor near board number 86 advised me to go to the podium of election officials and ask them to help me. I did. I enlisted help one of their leaders, a young man by the name of Anthony Miller. Mr. Miller walked me back to the board number 86 and asked what I wanted to challenge to say. I said I did not want to challenge just one ballot, but the entire process, as I was witnessing 7,000 ballots being inputted illegally. Mr. Miller advised the computer operator what to type in as a challenge so that it was part of the official record of the poll book for number 86. I challenged the authority and the authenticity of all these ballots that were being processed late with no, absolutely no accompanying documentation, no corresponding name in the QVF, and no corresponding name in the supplemental list. Every ballot was being fraudulently and manually entered into the electronic poll book. This is a sworn affidavit. If this person's lying, they go to prison. As having been born January 1st, 1900, this last batch of ballots was processed in the 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. timeframe. When I was asked about this impossibility of each ballot having the same birthday occurring in 1900, 120 years ago, I was told that that was the instruction that came down from the Wayne County Clerk's Office. Mr. Miller was very clear about these late ballots and that the instructions were coming from the Wayne County Clerk's Office. I was surprised and disappointed at the preponderance of dishonesty, irregularities, and fraudulent tactics. The November 3rd, 2020 election at the TCF Center. The above information is true to the best of my knowledge and belief. Where's Bill Barr on this? Yeah, I know that he authorized an investigation. I would start at the TCF Center. That's probably a good place to start. This woman signing her life away saying that there were thousands of ballots, boxes of new ballots, and every one of the voters had the same birthday, January 1st, 1900, right at the turn of the century. How convenient is that, that all these ballots start to come in on the first day of the new century in 1900? It was quite a day to be alive. I wasn't there. Teddy Roosevelt was. Howard Taft was there. Was that before or after William McKinley got shot? I think it was before. William Jennings Bryan was there. Ida B. Wells was there. John D. Rockefeller was there. Andrew Carnegie was there. I don't think any of the people that voted were there on January 1st, 1900, 120 years ago. If this is not clear fraud, then what are we doing here? The reason why this is so dangerous for our country is that now we are not talking about the will of the people. And this is why Joe Biden will not be considered, nor should he be considered, a legitimate president until we get answers to this. He's going to be considered a president that had better mobsters on his side. That's it. It's not the will of the people. It's not the states that rose up and really bought into his agenda. It's not he made better arguments. It's not that his set of ideas was so persuasive. None of that. Instead, it's he happened to have platoons of people that were willing to bend and push the rules and break the rules in many instances, like this sworn affidavit that says that thousands of ballots were processed at the insistence of the Wayne County clerk, all of the birthdays being on the 1st of January, 1900. And some of you are saying, yeah, Bill Barr is going to take care of this. Well, maybe, maybe not. Has James Comey or Peter Strzok or Lisa Page been indicted for what they did to our president? So when you don't hold some of these other people accountable for what they did, what's to prevent the Wayne County clerk from doing this as well? They know that there's two set of rules in our country. There's one set of rules for Democrats and those people connected to them and their power source, and another set of rules to those of us that dare speak out against the dogmatic, quasi-leftist theological belief to destroy America and disintegrate our civilization. This affidavit right here, which is breaking news, should be on every single news platform across the country. Every single one. And yet, most of the activist media is too busy talking about Joe Biden's transition team. Okay, we got that. When 70% of Republicans, so 70% of the 70 million people that voted for President Trump, which is about, just off the top of my head, 42 to 45 million people, don't trust the system, then you have to take a step back and say, if the system is not trusted, then where are those people going to head to next? Don't be surprised when all of a sudden those people don't consider you to be a legitimate president. Don't be surprised when they protest you endlessly. And definitely don't be surprised when they start to grasp and grab onto conspiracy theories. That is the natural sequence of events when you do not explain yourself, when thousands of ballots start to show up with birthdays on the 1st of January, 1900. As I opened up the show, I said there's two ways to govern people. You can govern them by talking and persuasion and reason, deliberation and nuance and talking, or you can govern them by force. This is a governing by force tactic. When now you have someone who's saying in a sworn affidavit that Mr. Miller brought them over and said, no, the Wayne County clerk said it's okay that all the birthdays were marked as the 1st of January, 1900. There's no problem here. This is breaking today, by the way. And no other activist media network is covering it. Instead, they're worrying about President-elect Joe Biden. I'm not using that phrase. Not until we get answers. Not even close. Let's listen to this clip of Governor Kristi Noem. She's one of the good ones. She'll be at our Turning Point USA Student Action Summit, tpusa.com/SAS. Let's play this clip of Kristi Noem. Play tape.
They have come up with zero evidence of widespread fraud.
And that is not true. That is absolutely not true. People have signed legal documents, affidavits, stating that they saw illegal activities. And that is why we need to have this conversation in court. The New York Times itself said that there were clerical errors.
If you look at what happened in Michigan, fraud, Governor, that's
that we had computer glitches that changed Republican votes to Democrat votes. You look in Pennsylvania, dead people voted in Pennsylvania. So, George, I don't know how widespread it is. I don't know if it'll change the outcome of the election. But why is everybody so scared just to have a fair election and find out?
She's phenomenal. Governor Kristi Noem's one of the fighters, unlike Mitt Romney and Jeb Bush. But do you notice what they did there? It's very important, and no one's talked about this. They use this term widespread. Do you know what's so dangerous about a term like widespread? It's inherently unscientific. It's a completely subjective term. So when you use a term like widespread, it's all in the eye of the beholder. Yeah, for George Stephanopoulos, it's not widespread. For us, it is because we have 182 pages of indicted voter fraud in just the last couple years. Right here. You want some examples? Cassandra Ritter, a felon convicted on heroin distribution charges, cast a ballot despite being ineligible due to a prior conviction. Sean Brown, candidate in 2nd Congressional District, was removed from the ballot and voted illegally. We have pages of voter fraud here that no one else talks about. But you see, they use that term widespread, similar to how they talked about the Chinese coronavirus, where George Stephanopoulos, who is a partisan, who is a Clinton Foundation donor and a former Clinton White House surrogate, for him, it's not widespread. For an honest observer, it kind of is widespread. So how about this? Instead of using substantial or widespread, let's just use numbers. How about this, George Stephanopoulos? 500,000 people voted for just Joe Biden in the battleground states. Can you explain that? 6,000 votes were changed in Michigan because of Dominion voting systems. We know that. The media tries to hypnotize you into using these unscientific words. They say they're for science. It's all nonsense. That, oh, we're for science. Widespread is a subjective term. You should only deal in objectivity, especially in times like this. I want to play the George Stephanopoulos clip again, and then I want to go into the Roy Blunt clip. Governor Kristi Noem, who's one of the good ones, she's phenomenal. She's an American hero, and she's fighting hard on these activist media networks. I want you to listen carefully to, more importantly, what George Stephanopoulos, the Clinton sycophant, has to say. He says something, widespread voter fraud. Listen to that carefully, and I'm going to talk about how dangerous and misleading this statement is. Play tape.
They have come up with zero evidence of widespread fraud.
And that is not true. That is absolutely not true. People have signed legal documents, affidavits, stating that they saw illegal activities. And that is why we need to have this conversation in court. The New York Times itself said that there were clerical errors.
If you look at what happened in Michigan, fraud, Governor, that's
that
very
we had
different.
Computer glitches that changed Republican votes to Democrat votes. You look in Pennsylvania, dead people voted in Pennsylvania. So, George, I don't know how widespread it is. I don't know if it'll change the outcome of the election. But why is everybody so scared just to have a fair election and find out?
If you listen very carefully, again, the activist media, they are experts in linguistic manipulation. To an untrained ear and an untrained eye, Stephanopoulos just looks like he's doing his job. But what did he say there? There are zero pieces of evidence of widespread. So he uses an objective term, zero, that's a number, zero, and then he uses a subjective term, widespread. So which is it, George? And what the activist media needs to be asked is this. What number, percentage of fraud would satisfy your definition of widespread? And if you can't give us a number, stop using the term. You're using the term to shut us up. That's why you're using it. Using the term to suffocate dissent. Widespread is an unscientific, subjective, non-mathematic term. How about this? Mr. Stephanopoulos and the activist media, there is evidence that has been bubbling up, that has been collected, that anywhere between 15 to 100,000 votes in some of these key states very well could have been fraudulent and manipulated. In Georgia, for example, there are 132,032 votes that are potentially invalid. Biden's lead in Georgia is 12,377. That's how adults talk about this stuff, George Stephanopoulos. What's really interesting is how they talked about the Chinese coronavirus. They said a 1% death rate would be catastrophic, and that is widespread. Yet they don't say that a 1% voter fraud rate is anything worth even worrying about. They say that's not widespread. So it's widespread when the virus rates, which it is, by the way, I agree, 1% would be awful. It's terrible. The infection, because we don't even know the true infection rate in our country, it's a case demic in the last couple months. I agree. So if the standard is 1% of people that die from the virus is bad, how about that 1% of votes that were cast are fraudulent? That is widespread. Yet they use an inherently unscientific, subjective, non-mathematic term to try and tell you, shut up and stop asking questions. I'm starting to see little breadcrumbs, though, that there might be something happening behind the scenes. That there might be something that is going to be revealed very, very soon. I'm not just saying that to get your hopes up. Listen to establishment Roy Blunt. As soon as I saw, before I saw the video, I have to tell you, I'm going to reveal and confide something in you. To our millions of people watching and listening. I thought that he was going to do the typical Republican establishment thing. Congratulations, President-elect Biden. Wait till you hear what Senator Roy Blunt, who's establishment man 2.0, he's McConnell's best buddy with John Thune in the background. Wait till you hear what he has to say about what's happening. Play tape.
That virtually every predictor of what was going to happen in the elections was wrong. You know, the president wasn't defeated by huge numbers. In fact, he may not have been defeated at all.
May not have been defeated at all. He's right. What would compel both him and Mitch McConnell holding the line so aggressively? There's two theories. Number one, they're paying a debt of gratitude to President Trump that kept them in the Senate majority because Steve Daines and Joni Ernst and Lindsey Graham, John Cornyn probably would not have won their races if it wasn't for President Trump bringing new voters into the rolls. Or they might be briefed on a voter fraud investigation that very well might reveal invalid voting, the likes of which that is hundreds of thousands of votes. This is why the activist media doesn't want to have this conversation. I want to tell you guys about Top Resume. They do a great job. Top Resume is the world's number one authority on resume writing. Professional writers with specific expertise in resume writing help you to have the best resume so you can get a job. When was the last time you wrote a resume? Do you know what it takes to get noticed when applying for jobs in today's competitive job market? Who do you turn to for feedback on your resume? The experts at Top Resume will provide free quality feedback through a resume review. More than just spell check and typos, a comprehensive review from trusted experts, feedback on skills, expertise, and keywords. There's personalized recommendation on how to make your resume stronger. And here's what you really have to do. You go to topresume.com/Kirk to get a free resume review. It's as simple as uploading your resume to their site, and you'll get a free evaluation and expert advice on how to make it stronger. Top Resume is also giving my listeners 15% off. So right now, go to topresume.com/Kirk today for your comprehensive resume review and 15% off resume writing services. That's topresume.com/Kirk. We covered in a previous episode from Gabon, African country, how to rig an election. Telltale signs. Too many voters. Got that one. High turnout in specific areas. Definitely have that one. Large numbers of voters of invalid votes. More votes than ballot papers issued. Results that don't match. And a delay in announcing results. This is when Westerners go into African countries and they want to see whether or not elections are being stolen. This is what they do. This is from BBC. So when independent election observers go into Africa to try to see whether or not the third world is stealing elections, they use these indicators. We have all of those indicators, red alert and fire alarm on all of them. And I want to tell you that just in the last couple days, your support of our program and vice versa of us getting into this is really starting to pay dividends. You now have Republican leaders that are fighting very, very hard. Can we go back to the Roy Blunt clip? And then I want to go to the Las Vegas clip here. The Roy Blunt clip. This is Senator Roy Blunt from Missouri. Listen carefully. He is part of the Senate establishment. And mind you, Bill Barr met with Mitch McConnell yesterday. And after Bill Barr met with Mitch McConnell, all of a sudden you start to see a flurry of investigations being launched into voter fraud and criminal activity. And then Senator Roy Blunt says something very interesting. Listen carefully.
That virtually every predictor of what was going to happen in the elections was wrong. You know, the president wasn't defeated by huge numbers. In fact, he may not have been defeated at all.
May not have been defeated at all. I want to play a clip here. This drumbeat is intensifying, everybody. We must keep the pressure on. What we are doing is working to expose the fraud, and that's all we want. If Donald Trump lost fair and square, I would be the first one to say, fine, it's President-elect Joe Biden. Let's go back into doing our own plans. That is not what we are seeing, everybody. We are seeing the opposite. We are seeing now more coverage, more evidence, more data to show that President Donald Trump and Joe Biden did not have a fair and free election. This is local news in Nevada, Clark County, Las Vegas. This is local news. And I love when the local news drumbeat starts, because that's really when things start to happen. Look at this. Play tape.
Now, one of those cases involve a woman who died in 2017. The iTeam's David Charnes looking into that. And David, you talked to this woman's husband.
Kirk Hartle's wife, Rosemarie, who passed away 3 years ago. She is one of two cases of somebody who died on Clark County's voter rolls. They were sent a mail-in ballot, and that ballot was returned. The question now is, though, who voted for her?
It was disbelief. It made no sense to me.
Kirk Hartle said he was surprised when he found out his wife, who died in 2017, had sent in a mail-in ballot.
I was surprised because she passed away 3 years ago. I was surprised to even get that.
We might be on the verge of unraveling a interstate criminal conspiracy to steal our elections. That's local news coverage right there, everybody. That's local news coverage of someone whose wife died in 2017 and she submitted a ballot. And yet George Stephanopoulos says there's zero evidence of widespread voter fraud. Widespread is a subjective term. Throw it out the window. Say, how about this? There's plenty of evidence to show that there was 1-2% potentially of fraud in the states that matter, more specifically the counties and the cities that matter. This has changed dramatically in the last couple of days. Do you notice how Saturday's coronation of Joe Biden has not completely set in for a lot of Republican leaders? And that's a good thing. Despite George W. Bush and Jeb Bush and all these other people, you're now seeing Republicans say, hold on a second, there might be something to the Dominion voting systems. There might be something to the counting stopping in Atlanta, Philadelphia, Detroit, and Milwaukee. And Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin was just asked by the activist media, have you congratulated Joe Biden? And he said, quote, no, there's nothing to congratulate him about. He's in charge of the Homeland Security Committee in the Senate. And so there's one specific type of political organism that I'm very well versed in, and that is establishment Republicans. When establishment Republicans start to fight for something and there's not an election around the corner, you know they actually might be onto something. There's not an election, so they have no political benefit to do this. Maybe the Georgia runoff, maybe. Or maybe Senator Ron Johnson and Senator Roy Blunt and Senator Mitch McConnell, all of which that are in senator leadership. And I like Ron Johnson. He's a friend. He came on our program. He deserves a lot of credit. But I think you would all agree that, and Lindsey Graham, by the way, who, glad he won. Lindsey's always going to, we're going to have the good Lindsey and bad Lindsey days. Okay? We're going to call good Lindsey, bad Lindsey. I'd love to have him on our program. And I think that he does great on a lot of different things, except for the fact that he's always looking for a sovereign country to invade. Besides that, he does a great job for our country. And trust me, I'm really pleased he beat Jamie Harrison. I say that with no sarcasm. What he did with Amy Coney Barrett and Brett Kavanaugh, phenomenal. I mean that. But when all of a sudden Senate Republicans are fighting on voter fraud, this is more than just conservative popcorn. This is more than just something out in the ether. There's something to this that must be uncovered. There's something substantive that we must find. Sworn affidavit here of somebody who saw thousands of ballots in Michigan arrive late at night of all having the same birthday of January 1st, 1900, 120 years ago. We have here a list of dead voters, of people that submitted ballots all in Michigan. These irregularities are now becoming a pattern. And when things become a pattern, when it has to do with elections, everyone needs to say time out. Now, the activist media is going to do everything they possibly can to suppress any form of discussion, any form of dialogue when it comes to these issues. Leading liberals are now calling for investigations into voter fraud. Brett Weinstein, who is a liberal, but he's a classical liberal, not a leftist. I think he's super, I really enjoy Brett Weinstein. I really do. He's a former professor, I think, at Evergreen State University. They ran him off campus because Brett decided to say that he wasn't going to leave campus when all white men were not supposed to report to campus. Brett Weinstein says it's not clear whether there was substantial voter fraud in the 2020 U.S. election, but it is clear that there is valid for concern. Why is there not broad bipartisan interest in finding out? Brett Weinstein is a Bernie Sanders supporting liberal and also an unbelievably brilliant mathematician. And when Brett Weinstein starts saying it, it starts validating a lot of these charts that we have here of Benford's Law. And that is the sort of honest commentary that we've been missing here. And so when Brett Weinstein is saying it, that goes to show that at least we need to look into it, right? And so Brett Weinstein's hashtag that he has in his Twitter bio is hashtag Unity2020. And look, I think that unity is a very admirable goal. I do. I think that unity is something that we should try to achieve. If Joe Biden actually wants to achieve unity in our country, if Joe Biden actually wants to bring people together, he is going to now have to convince the 45 to 50 million people of the 70 million that voted for Trump that he is a duly elected president and he won freely and he won fairly in our country. Without doing so, Joe Biden will have a cloud over his presidency that will make it impossible for him to govern. I want what's best for our country. I really do. Unlike the Democrats, I'm not going to be calling for people to boycott his inauguration if he wins fairly and freely. Unlike the Democrats, I'm not going to say, I'm going to go blow up the White House like Madonna said. If it is proven that all the evidence that we have here can be debunked by very smart people with good evidence and I'll pour through it, I'll be the first one to say, okay, you guys won fairly or freely. It is becoming so clear that it's not the case. Here's Senator Ron Johnson, who's access to more information than any one of us, from Wisconsin, who says very clearly there's nothing to congratulate Joe Biden for. Why would he be saying that? Play tape.
Senator, have you congratulated Vice President Biden yet?
No.
Why not?
Nothing to congratulate him about.
There's nothing to congratulate him about. Is that what he said? It's hard with the masks with all this. And he just keeps walking. I love Senator Ron Johnson's attitude lately. He's been terrific. But he's in leadership. And I can tell you this. Mitch McConnell, Roy Blunt, and Senator Ron Johnson, they were quick to undercut the president when he told Ilhan Omar, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib to go back home for when they come from and then come back. Very misinterpreted quote, but whatever. The point is that the Senate Republicans have never missed a chance to undercut the president. However, in this instance, it seems that they're holding the line. Senator Ron Johnson has access to classified material as the chairman of the Department of Homeland Security. Who's to say that Dominion voting systems wasn't hacked by a foreign entity? I'm not saying that I have corroborated evidence of that. I'm saying that I have suspicion, and I'm not the only one. In our fast-paced world, it's time to make reading a priority. At least it used to be. A new app called Thinker, you guys have heard me talk about it, thinker.org/Charlie, T-H-I-N-K-R, has solved that problem by summarizing the key ideas from new and noteworthy fiction, giving you access to an entire library of great books in bite-sized form. Read or listen to hundreds of titles in a matter of minutes, including old classics like Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. If you want to challenge your preconceptions, expand your horizons, and what? Become a better thinker. Go to thinker.org/Charlie. That's thinkr.org/Charlie to start an extended free trial and put your mind in motion. There's a great article here that says, excuse me while I call BS in Wisconsin. Maybe this is why Ron Johnson is speaking out. It's a phenomenal article. It says, for instance, in Wisconsin, data suggests that there are issues that need looking into in five counties in particular, Washington, St. Croix, Dane, Waukesha, and Ozaukee. And by the way, Dane is exactly what we pinpointed here at the work we've been doing on the Charlie Kirk Show and our data team. These counties are in which Joe Biden beat Barack Obama's turnout by double digits. In 57 counties, Biden underperformed Obama's turnout in some counties by as much 28%. One of the rules of Saul Alinsky, and remember, these are rules. These are not laws. These are tactics. These are not things that we should necessarily take as moral truths, but they work in political combat, which is what we are in right now. Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals are critical for every single conservative organizer to know and know them well. And rule number four of Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals is make the enemy live up to its own book of rules. They do this to us all the time. TheNation.com, which is nothing more than a Soviet-style newspaper, it is one of the most far left-wing rags out there. TheNation.com on September 10th, 2019. North Carolina's revote is a win for democracy. When elections cannot be resolved with recounts, they should be held again. So when Democrats say that we can't trust the authenticity of an election, we should have a revote. It says the following, quote, though Democrat McCready initially conceded, the North Carolina Democratic Party gathered sufficient evidence of a ballot harvesting scheme organized by a Mark Harris, the Republican operative. Absentee ballots were collected from areas that were presumed to lean Democratic, but they were never turned in. Both the North Carolina Board of Elections and U.S. House of Representatives refused to certify the election. An inquiry by the Board of Elections found evidence of a coordinated, unlawful, and substantially resourced absentee ballot scheme that seemed to involve more than 1,000 ballots or ballot request forms. By mid-February, even Harris acknowledged that the, quote, public's confidence in the 9th district seat general election has been undermined to an extent that a new election is warranted. It's about time that we make the left live up to their own book of rules. Why did they want a revote in a critical House seat in North Carolina? And why wouldn't they want a revote now? A revote is more than warranted in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, the battleground states. And it is not out of the realm of possibility. At all. The U.S. Supreme Court can come in and say, because of all these irregularities, because of what we see in Wisconsin, which I'm going to dive into just, I think Wisconsin, out of all the examples have their own little nuggets of issues. Some of them have things in common, but certain states, they were worse at covering up their fraud because Trump overperformed so dramatically in some of these states. The state that's going to be hardest for us to find some of this fraud is going to be Georgia, because President Trump underperformed what they thought he would do in Georgia. One of the easiest will be Wisconsin, because he screwed up all their models. In 10 counties in Wisconsin, Biden overperformed Obama. But in three of those counties, when factored for population losses since 2012, he did not beat Obama's 2012 turnout. In Trump's column, Trump beat in Wisconsin 2012 turnout in every single county except four, and his 2016 turnout in every county in Wisconsin. That means Trump improved 95% of counties, while Biden lost 80% of the counties. To simplify even further, Trump averaged a 30.31% average increase in Wisconsin over 2012 and a 16.39% increase over 2016. To compare that to Biden's tally of an average performance of Obama by 8.51% and 2012 of 17.39% increase over Clinton's 2016 performance. You continue to go through this county by county, you realize that in some of these target counties, what's the point of all this? Quote, Trump's data follows a natural and reasonable distribution. Where Trump did better than Romney almost as a rule. Where Biden did better, he did better than Clinton in every county, which is to be expected, but still lagged over Obama in the majority of counties, many bordering these massive growth counties. In totality, in those five counties, Biden beat Obama by 83,291 votes in a state where Biden beat Trump by over 20,000 votes. It says, without being able to be inside of the offices of these counties and seeing everything what happens, Biden's victory in Wisconsin will be continually called into question. The kicker is this. In Wisconsin, he's underperforming where it counts, but there's a 20-point swing just miles down the road where it counts. That's the kicker, is that Biden had no trends across the state, is that he had boosted where it counts, and then he just gets destroyed in other counties just a couple miles down the street. And that's the chart to show that. And now you're starting to see Republicans like Ron Johnson call this into question. Ron Johnson says there's nothing to congratulate Joe Biden about. He's right. Republicans know that this thing was likely and allegedly stolen. A Pennsylvania poll watcher says, quote, we literally had no input and no ability to watch anything. This could throw out the entire election in Pennsylvania, by the way. This is a constitutional disaster that the U.S. Supreme Court could say, Pennsylvania didn't do their job. We're going to throw it all out. Dave Shatokas, who I know very well, a Chicago-based lawyer. He's a great guy. It's funny. I actually didn't realize he was in this article. Joined several dozen other lawyers in Allegheny County residents to poll watch in Pittsburgh on Tuesday. And he told Just the News that ballot monitors, quote, had no input and no ability to watch anything. Quote, it was a huge warehouse facility. Quote, my guess is the whole place was 40,000 square feet. Poll counters were doing their work in an area of about 15 to 20,000 square feet. Shatokas said ballots were eventually fed into scanning equipment in another smaller room. Quote, we literally had no input and no ability to watch anything. As far as I'm concerned, each and every day, one of those ballots, something was opened illegally. Let's play cut six of Steve Cortez from the campaign reinforcing this.
Joe Biden claims that he wants to be a healing leader for America. Well, if that's true, then he should not only be agreeing to careful audits of vote returns, he should be encouraging it. Why? Because tens of millions of Americans right now believe that the election is being stolen from them. And they don't believe this without justification. Let's first talk about the statistical improbability of Donald Trump losing, given all the other macro trends in the 2020 election. And I'll get much more granular in future videos, but let's take a look at the macro trends. The GOP held 28 of 29 tight House races. It didn't lose one House race for the first time ever. The GOP picked up three state legislatures. Trump had the best minority percentage for any Republican in 60 years. And yet Trump loses? That is highly improbable to a lot of clear-thinking Americans. And it means that at the least, we owe them a very careful look at votes. Why? Also because of how close everything is. In these four states, Arizona, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Georgia, the vote totals as they stand right now are 0.67 or more narrow. So the idea that we should just go away, that the deplorable should be quiet, that we should accept the word of CNN and Fox News. No. And Joe Biden, if you want to be a healer, you should be encouraging a thorough review of all these results.
If Democrats actually wanted to govern with a mandate, wouldn't they want the country that they're going to oversee to trust them in power? If I was the Democrats, I'd say, look into everything. You won't find anything. If they didn't cheat. Here's what actually should happen. Is that Republican Secretary of States and Attorney Generals and governors across the country. For example, Texas. Here's what should happen in Texas. Is that Greg Abbott, if you're listening, you should do this. Say, we're going to open our state for a full audit. Why won't Georgia and Pennsylvania do the same? Alabama, South Carolina, Montana, and Iowa should say, audit our state. Every Republican governor should say, we're going to audit our elections. It's just the right thing to do. If other governors start doing that, it'll put pressure on these other states to start doing that. Ron DeSantis, come up and say, we're going to audit all the election results in Florida. We're going to get the exact same results because Florida actually does elections correctly. If states all of a sudden start rising up and saying, we're not going to send electors until we audit our results. And by the way, here's the other very interesting thing is that in some of these blue states that Biden needs, Governor Doug Ducey should say in Arizona in the state legislature, we're not sealing your electors until Pennsylvania gets audited, until Michigan gets audited, until Wisconsin gets audited, until we get to the bottom of all of this. Every single state should be audited. Even Louisiana should be audited. And what, you know what? They might find some Republican voter fraud in Louisiana. I'm not saying that Republicans never do this. What I am saying, though, is that in the states that determine the presidency, in the cities and the counties that determine the presidency, this was a mechanical machine type operation, almost military style, where they came into these cities, they stopped counting, ballots started arriving according to this affidavit. I'm not just conjecturing it. This affidavit says right here, quote, I challenge not just one ballot, but the entire process that we're not in the QVF, which is the way they count votes. And I realized that all of the birthdays were on the 1st of January, 1900. I was surprised to see numerous new boxes of ballots arrive the day after the election in the TCF Center in the evening. In the evening, everybody. I estimate these boxes contain several thousand new ballots when they appeared. And now you're seeing Bill Barr spring into action. You're seeing Lindsey Graham spring into action. Roy Blunt, Ron Johnson, President Trump is holding the line. The tide of public opinion is now turning against the Democrats. Because now you have Republicans that are realizing that you are making your voice heard. You're attending these rallies. You're supporting our program. You're speaking out. You're calling for audits. And now, what did I tell you on this program over the weekend? That Republicans will read the script that we give them. That Republicans will do what they are told. That they need very clear instructions from citizens so that they get marching orders. Lindsey Graham comes out and he says possible ballot harvesting in Pennsylvania involved over 25,000 nursing home residents. Our program on Sunday came forward with a theory that is now catching a lot of attention. And when you guys support us at charliekirk.com/supporter, you email us freedom@charliekirk.com. You make all of a sudden senators be made attention with this. For example, this practice, according to the New York Times, is called granny farming. The 1,774% increase in voter registration in Pennsylvania is awfully suspicious for 90-plus-year-olds in the midst of a pandemic, that all of a sudden 90-plus-year-olds start to all of a sudden want to register to vote. And Lindsey Graham says possible ballot harvesting in Pennsylvania involves 25,000 nursing home residents. There are roughly 700 nursing home facilities and 1,200 personal care homes in Pennsylvania. You guys have heard me talk about Good Ranchers before. They do such a great job. Good Ranchers began with the standard of bringing 100% American-born, raised, and harvested meat to families across America. This vision was instilled into them from their grandparents that owned community grocery stores and believed in trust, charity, and family values. GoodRanchers.com partners directly with only American ranches from across the United States to bring the highest quality meat right to your door. GoodRanchers.com, get 100% American-raised beef straight to your door. Beef the way it used to be. Get America's best grass-fed grain right now, finished beef, delivered straight to your door. It's goodranchers.com. Make sure you tell them that our show sent you. Use the promo code CHARLIE to save $20 off your purchase. For the price of a family going out to dinner, you can fill your freezer with quality meats at goodranchers.com. Don't waste your money on cheap cuts and overseas beef buying from the other guys. Get the American beef cuts your family deserves with Good Ranchers. Buy today at goodranchers.com. Get 100% American-born, raised, and harvested beef and chicken delivered straight to your door. Visit goodranchers.com to find the perfect package for your family. Get the good stuff with Good Ranchers. T-bones, ribeyes, fillets, and more. GoodRanchers.com, promo code CHARLIE. GoodRanchers.com, promo code CHARLIE. I believe that is just the beginning of the ballot harvesting scheme that exists called granny farming. Graham has also called for the Justice Department investigation into voting regularities after receiving a sworn affidavit from a Pennsylvania postal worker alleging that postal supervisor officials hatched a plan to backdate ballots mailed after the election. You can't ballot harvest in Pennsylvania, Graham added. What are the odds that 25,000 different people in different locations of the same age group requested at the same time a ballot? Somebody is up to no good in these nursing homes. Good for you, Lindsey Graham. No, I mean that. That's the type of leadership that we need right now. Keep giving your elected officials clear marching orders. Isn't it interesting how North Carolina wasn't called? Isn't it interesting how it took them this long to call North Carolina? Well, North Carolina has just been called for the president. Congratulations, President Trump. You won North Carolina. After a week, and we knew that he won that night. And Michelle Steele just won in California, flipping a Democrat to Republican seat in California. So now you have Ron Johnson saying there's nothing to congratulate Joe Biden about. You have Roy Blunt saying that Donald Trump won the election. You have President Trump doing what we anticipated him to do, which is to fight. But Mike Pompeo saying what exactly? This clip is from today. Listen to this.
Is the State Department currently preparing to engage with the Biden transition team? And if not, at what point does a delay hamper a smooth transition or pose a risk to national security?
There will be a smooth transition to a second Trump administration. All right. We're ready. The world is watching what's taking place here. We're going to count all the votes. When the process is complete, there'll be electors selected. There's a process. The Constitution lays it out pretty clearly. The world should have every confidence that the transition necessary to make sure that the State Department is functional today, and successful with the president who's in office on January 20th, a minute afternoon, will also be successful.
That's Mike Pompeo, the State Department, everybody, who's saying that there will be a second Trump term. Ron Johnson, Roy Blunt, Mitch McConnell, Mike Pompeo, Bill Barr's looking into things. Now, look, I know establishment Republicans very well. They don't just do this stuff, okay? Let me be very clear. They don't do the rap-a-tap dance on, like, fringe theories, okay? Mike Pompeo was also CIA director for quite a while. 132,000 votes could be potentially invalidated in Georgia. Hundreds of thousands could be invalidated in Pennsylvania. And we'll be joined in one of our live streams later today by Congressman Paul Gosar and Congressman Andy Biggs, and they're going to go into some voter fraud stuff. We have sworn affidavits that thousands of ballots arrived illegally in the middle of the night in Michigan with the same birth date of January 1st, 1900. Lindsey Graham says that there are 25,000 potentially illegitimate votes in Pennsylvania. County records in Wisconsin show that Milwaukee felons cast absentee ballots in the 2020 election. Both in Allegheny County and in Milwaukee, it seems that Benford's mathematical law was violated. There's undeniable mathematical evidence that this election is being stolen. We have 182 pages of documented voter fraud. The New York Times even says that fraud is easier via mail. Using the Gabon voter fraud guide, it looks very clear that something is happening here, and it's not just us talking about it. Now you're seeing the Secretary of State say that there will be a second Trump administration term. You're seeing senators. Now, why would they all be saying that? They're trying to normalize, in a good way, the challenging that is forthcoming. I'm not one to get anyone's hopes up unnecessarily. But I will say this, that these establishment guys would not be saying this unless they believed that something was forthcoming that might change the outcome that the media has wanted so desperately for you to believe in the last couple days. So what would compel Mike Pompeo to say this? Let's play Mike Pompeo again, please. Again.
Is the State Department currently preparing to engage with the Biden transition team? And if not, at what point does a delay hamper a smooth transition or pose a risk to national security?
There will be a smooth transition to a second Trump administration. All right. We're ready. The world is watching what's taking place here. We're going to count all the votes. When the process is complete, there'll be electors selected. There's a process. The Constitution lays it out pretty clearly. The world should have every confidence that the transition necessary to make sure that the State Department is functional today, and successful with the president who's in office on January 20th, a minute after noon, will also be successful.
Roy Blunt, McConnell, Lindsey Graham. Now, there'd be one thing. I'll say this. If all these guys were saying it's President-elect Biden, let's call it in, my argument would still be the same with all these irregularities, but I wouldn't have as much confidence that something might be coming, everybody. Again, these establishment types, they're not one to get anyone's hopes up, okay? These establishment types, they just kind of play it very simple. That's fine. We need establishment types in the current framework that we're in. I'm glad that we have Lindsey Graham and not Jamie Harrison, and I'm really glad that we have Amy Coney Barrett, Gorsuch, and Kavanaugh on the U.S. Supreme Court. That's great. My blend of conservatism is much more Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, but that's just me, and Tom Cotton, and Josh Hawley. Those are the good guys. Jake Tapper is freaking out on Twitter, saying, and all the Democrats are saying, it's dangerous and delusional. They're losing their minds because they thought this election is over. Well, wait a second. If hundreds of thousands of votes could be thrown out, did you see how Mike Pompeo kind of chuckled when he heard the question? Almost kind of a smug confidence. You're going to like to see what's going to come next. Sunday versus now, you're starting to see things all of a sudden change where there is a chance that the Department of Justice and the Department of Homeland Security have a multi-thousand person investigation into all this right now, and you're going to see some things change very rapidly. Let me warn you about something. If all of a sudden the DOJ starts to call some of these count tallies and the legitimacy of this election into question, protect yourself, because the left is not going to be happy. We did not burn down cities when they coronated Joe Biden. When they uncoronate him, they will burn down everything, which will actually not help them politically in the revote that might happen in January. This election is far from over. 132,000 votes could be invalidated in Georgia. Hundreds of thousands of votes could be invalidated in Pennsylvania, and tens of thousands, potentially, in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Wisconsin looks just to be total funny business. Excuse me while I call BS in Wisconsin. We're taking your questions here, freedom@charliekirk.com. Before I take your questions, let's play Lindsey Graham going after Andrew McCabe, who is one of my least favorite individuals that currently graces this planet. Play this tape.
If you knew then what you know now, would you have signed the warrant application in June of 2017 against Carter Page?
No, sir.
Okay. Finally, who is responsible for ruining Mr. Carter Page's life? If it's not you, if it's not Rosenstein, if it's not Comey, if it's not Sally Yates, who's responsible for putting together the information provided to the FISA court that was completely devoid of the truth?
What is the significance of this? Until these people start to go to jail, they're going to think that they can steal anything from us. They can spy on presidents. They can remove them. They can launch coups against them. And I can tell you right now, there are some very nervous Democrats out there. The fact that Republican senators, Mike Pompeo and Bill Barr, it is not out of the realm of possibility that there is an announcement from the Department of Justice in the coming days that says they believe that the 2020 election should be redone and invalidated. That is not out of the realm of possibility. It's not. in the key battleground states. And here's the best peripheral evidence. Republicans won 28 out of 29 competitive House seats, flipped three state legislators, and did not lose a single House seat. And we just flipped another one right now in California, in Orange County, California. This was a red wave, everybody, except for Trump. This was a red tsunami everywhere, except in four cities. We are about to sweep California. President Trump won Beverly Hills. He won Beverly Hills. And we're supposed to believe that you can't win Fulton County and do better versus 2016. They're supposed to believe that you can win Beverly Hills, but you lose Scottsdale, Arizona. The Democrats think they can get away with all of this. The only thing preventing this fraud and this theft is you. Whether you know it or not, you are more powerful in this process than any other moment in history. Your power is watching this program and supporting it. It's emailing your legislators. It's tweeting. It's calling. And now they're being exposed. Do you remember back in 2016 when President Trump said they're spying on me? And certain media types and Republicans said, they're not spying on you. Cut it out, Donald Trump. Do you remember when President Trump fired James Comey and Republicans said, you're making a big mistake. What are you doing? And yet President Trump was proven correct. How many times has President Trump called out the fraud of these people and have been proven right? And that's what the significance of the Andy McCabe hearing is. How many times has President Trump called out an injustice that's being done to him, and weak-kneed Republicans typically run to the hills, and then all of a sudden President Trump gets proven correct? But now you see the opposite happening. Now you see Mitch McConnell, Ron Johnson, Roy Blunt, Mike Pompeo, and Lindsey Graham not running for the hills. They're leaning in, and they're leaning in because everything that we have been uncovering the last couple days has merit and it has validity. We might be uncovering one of the most insidious, sophisticated, and evil vote harvesting schemes in the history of America that was targeted to certain areas to defeat Donald Trump. Everything they have been telling us the last couple years has been built on lies. And their coronation of Joe Biden is no different. There's nothing to congratulate him on. We are staying on top of this nonstop, and it's made possible thanks to your support. In closing, everybody, you are now seeing record amount of momentum and progress from establishment Republicans that typically run to the hills. They're leaning in. They might know what we know, and the world might know it very soon.